Core Sound's pad loops help worship leaders instantly and easily fill their worship sound, create seamless transitions, kill dead space, and free themselves to focus on worship. Go to Core, C-O-R-E, coresoundpads.com to learn more, try free samples, and get going with pads today. Use promo code NGWB and get 20% off your next purchase.
Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm first name Mister, middle name Parrot, last name T.
Happy birthday, baby.
Yeah, it's my birthday. I pity the fool. Mr. T in the house.
How old is Mr. T, by the way?
I don't know. I don't even know my own age. But I do have a Flavor Wave, and I use it every day.
A what?
A Flavor Wave.
What's a Flavor Wave?
Oh, you ain't heard no Flavor Wave. I seen on TV. You get the Flavor Wave, put your bacon in there, and it cooks it up just nice and perfect.
It's called a Bacon Wave.
No, I sold it on television.
You called it a Flavor Wave?
I think it's called a Flavor Wave. No, he sold the Flavor Wave.
He did?
It was called the Flavor Wave.
You know, I'm not super familiar with
this. What
Mr.
we gonna
T.
do now, Betsy? Oh, look, she got some potatoes and some corn. Oh, look at that. Oh, wow.
He was seriously on infomercials?
Yeah, he was
on
I think
Mr.
it was called
T.
the Flavor Wave. I could be wrong.
That's such Mr. a downgrade.
T. Whoa.
We'll let Deb fact check us on that one.
Okay.
He's been around forever, right? He's got to be like 70 or 80. I don't know.
He's ageless.
He's ageless.
Yeah.
And timeless.
You know, I never really got into Mr. T.
And he never went gray.
Man, I remember drawing Mr. T in like third grade, man.
Really?
With the mohawk and the feathered earrings and all the gold chains.
Yeah. Wow. I have to confess that when I'm bored, I do pull up the A-Team sometimes on YouTube and watch an episode.
Makes my heart happy.
Yeah. You always know when Hannibal's going to get in a fight because he puts his gloves on.
Who's Hannibal?
Hannibal was the leader.
He's the leader. He's the mastermind.
Okay, I have seen a couple clips where like a white van was there and there were some explosions.
No. Oh, white
but
van?
I've never, was there a white
they
van?
They had a black van.
Oh, see, I don't even know. I've never actually seen an episode of the A-Team.
They were great businessmen. You know, they find somebody that needs help.
Right.
And they're like, well, we're going to need two planes. We're going to need... You know, 50 machine guns and so many hand grenades, that'll be $80,000.
And we promise we won't kill anyone.
We promise we'll
no
kill
one it. Died on the show.
We're only going to shoot into the ground.
Sorry, was Mr. T a boxer?
No, he was in Rocky III. He played Clubber Lang in Rocky III.
He was
He was the antagonist.
When did the A-Team run? Do you remember? Was
like 80 to 84 or something
It's right in there with like Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, yeah.
Like Tuesday stuff. Night, A-Team, Dukes of Hazzard. Oh, and the Voyagers.
Yeah.
What's the Voyagers?
That was only like one season, though.
That was my favorite show.
It should have lasted until today because it was really great.
Man, you guys are so old.
Yeah, time travel.
Yeah, they had the little thing that.
The little ball.
They had to fix history and that was it had a red light and when they fixed it, it would turn green.
It was like a Simon, you know, where you match the.
Wow.
Yeah.
I seriously never even heard of it.
But the A-Team, I tell you, my favorite was Murdoch because he was like crazy. He was like kind of silly, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then they did the remake, the movie, a few years back.
They did?
Yeah, with Liam Neeson and Bradley Cooper in it.
Mm-hmm. Where was I face. When that happened?
Probably sleeping.
I don't know. Go watch it. It's pretty good. It's actually a pretty good movie.
Okay.
But I think they need to have like, you know how they did Star Trek Next Generation?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I think they had to have A-Team Next Generation.
We could be on it.
We could. Well, we're a little too old, I think. Maybe not.
You could be the old dudes.
That's something that should be activated.
Yeah.
A-Team. The Next Generation.
Yeah.
Right? We're talking about activating the next generation today on the show and part two of Rita Springer's interview on the way. Stick around. It's going to be glorious.
I always thought MacGyver was cool. The single mom raising kids alone. The woman headed back to school to start a new career. The woman loving and cherishing children that you didn't get to birth. The single woman who isn't waiting for a man to help you really live your adventure. The brave mom who homeschools. The brave mom who doesn't. The businesswoman. The lady preacher who's going against the religious flow. Every day, you fight for what is right and good and healthy. You wage war against dysfunctional patterns and habits in your own life and in the world around you by living with a heart that is becoming whole and healthy. You were made with a beautiful mind that solves problems and a beautiful body that creates and sustains life. You are Wonder Woman. Look around you, see the beautiful ones, and champion them.
Empowering women to thrive. Check out the all-new On Fire podcast at onfirepodcast.com.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Next week, we're sitting down with our good old buddy, Dustin Smith, talking about Healing is Right, something they've been doing for a couple of years now. And man, he's gathered a bunch of people there in his community together and have really gone after healing, not just in their community, but all over the world. And he's making a huge impact. We're going to have him on for a couple of shows next week and the week following. And we're just going to pick his brain about what they're doing and a lot of new stuff that they're they're doing too.
Yeah, so new exciting things.
We're excited about talking with him. Today, a little later in the show, we're going to be sitting down once again with Rita Springer and talking about activating the next generation. Uh-huh. What do we mean by that?
Man, well, I just have to say, Rita, you're my hero.
Yeah. She's so cool.
Yeah, we all have these memories since, you know, we're older than we used to be. Don't necessarily have to dive into the exact decade we're in.
Y'all are old, but I'm not.
But man, we just remember all those times. I did a lot of carpet time, they used to call it. That's a charismania word there. Just glued to the floor and Rita's just singing over me, you know. Anyway.
Yeah, I've covered the floor with some snot and tears during Rita Springer worship. Mm.
Such a treasure and so honored to have her on the show. But, you know, activating the next generation, she talks a little bit about this in her interview today. And I thought it'd be great to talk about it because we are continually striving to just say what he is saying and do what he is doing. And as Next Gen Worship, that's our plan. You know, there's no plan B. There's no building some big mammoth structure here. We're just trying to be lean and mean and say what he's saying, do what he's doing. And we hear him saying this, activate the next generation. But it doesn't happen on its own, right? Yeah. We're continually grappling with, even in our own community and in our own team, how do we do this? How do we go forward? How do we make a bigger difference? Let's not repeat the same errors of the previous generation, but let's partner with heaven in a way that's brand new and in a way that maybe catches us off guard a bit and people look at it and go, what are they doing? You know, the goal of this is to create world changers. You can call them disciples if you want. Disciples are world changers. There is some hindrances, though, to activation. Maybe we should talk about that a little.
Well, I think Next Gen Worship is not something that we're trying to build, right? Mm-hmm. Next Gen Worship is just an identifier to the movement that he's put in our hands, right?
Yep.
So that's not just exclusive to our group or to our community or to our region. Right. It is a name to what we are about, the Father's business, right?
Right.
And we're linking arms with all brothers and sisters of the faith. Something that I want to emphasize is Holy Spirit's been doing this from day one.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
As soon as he landed at Pentecost, he's been doing it right. He's been inspiring people to partner with him and build the kingdom. Right.
Right.
So there have been a lot of things done right. The faith is still alive. The gospel is still being preached today as it was 2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. There are some things we've gotten wrong, too. We're not ones to really focus on, I'll tell you what's wrong with the church. I'll tell you right now, man. You know,
Who's that guy that just came
I don't know. Buford Bohannon James. He comes out whenever I turn into my religious guy. I don't know why, but there's a little religious man that lives inside of me. His name is the Reverend Buford Bohannon James, and he has a televangelist on the local PBS station. Anyway.
Okay.
But it's not saying what's wrong with the church, but how can we do it better?
Yeah.
That's kind of where we're coming from here is how can we do it better and come together?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really think that then we need to start out of the gate by saying that activation and isolation cannot coexist. They do not live together. They cannot even walk the same road together. So you cannot be activated and you cannot activate the next generation if you are a participator in isolationism.
Yeah.
And it's tricky. A lot of people want to be isolated. I mean, I even struggle with it myself. Like this whole thing of, I don't want to be seen. I don't want to be known. I want people to leave me alone and let me live in my own little world. But that's a very lonely and empty place. I think if we really are going to activate the next generation, we have to be willing to participate with them.
Yeah. And we see people isolating themselves. They're really responding to something. A lot of times it's fear. And it is a little scary to get outside of our church bubble, our little church walls that we've erected for ourselves that are really nice and safe. But the truth is, guys, when we live in a city, you know, we've got our own assignments, but man, he has an assignment for the city. Holy Spirit going, please, please, please look up a little higher, you know, get a little bigger vision, look a little bit higher than the things I've given you. Like we're super good at, especially in America, man, we'll hone in on an assignment. It's a project and we're going to tackle it and we're going to do it really well, you know? But sometimes there's a weakness in that and we could ignore maybe the bigger picture. So the bigger picture is not how many people can I get in my church? The bigger picture is how many world changers can I get out of my church into the city?
Come on.
Because, you know, we see that even Jesus talked another level higher than that. He said, disciple nations. We're not even there yet, I don't think. You know, we're still working on maybe discipling our cities. But I think we have to start to aim at that goal if we want to steer this ship to a truer north position.
What I would love to see is a people that are united together as the church consider themselves a part of each other. Mm-hmm. So much to the point that it's not even an issue of loyalty. It's an issue of protecting yourself as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, so whenever there's things being said about this person or that person, you nip it in the bud. You just say, that's not allowed. That's illegal. We don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear somebody complaining, you say, no, that's illegal. We can't do that. It's illegal for Christians to complain. It's illegal for Christians to talk badly about each other. It's illegal. And I think there needs to be a spirit of defense that rises up and protects the body.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit loves the body. You know, he loves to bring us together and he loves to wrap his arms around us and embrace us and champion us. And we should do that for each other.
Mm-hmm.
That is his heart. That's the Father's heart, is to see us succeed and partner with him and do great exploits for his glory. If you can put your words in the mouth of Jesus and they sound ridiculous, you probably shouldn't say them.
that's really good. Yeah, really good.
I've been recently challenging myself a little bit because I have come across people that I'm developing relationships with, and I'm starting to realize that they are really, really different than me. And there's a religious part of me that gets a little scared. Like they may believe politically really different than me, or even some social issues. And it's like, I feel myself want to pull back into, well, I don't want to get too close to that because, well, it might make me, you know, different. It might make me not who I am. But the reality is that I should be able to hold hands with that person because Jesus is inside of them. And all of the other exterior things, the differences in how we believe or doctrines or things like that, some of that is just really irrelevant. It's irrelevant and it doesn't matter because the essential core of what we believe in the body of Christ that we are a part of is what connects us.
Yeah, yeah. What we're dealing with here is something even Chris Vallotton has been talking about it the past year or so, is denominationalism. And that doesn't mean, like, I'm not talking about Baptists and Methodists and Pentecostal. I'm talking about the idea that we only gather around based on what we agree on. So when we disagree, what happens? We split.
Yeah.
But the world is not going to be changed by disagreeing and splitting. The world's going to be changed by what? You'll know that the Father has sent me because you guys love each other. Straight out of the New Testament there. So we have to kind of shift our mind and go, okay, are we really trying to protect ourselves so much that we can't associate with other people when we have a disagreement on anything with them? That's not powerful. What's powerful is that we unify together in love. Like, I'm not unifying with you, Josh, because we have made a list of everything we agree on. We love each other. And that's frankly, doggone it, good enough, you know?
Right.
And that's the most powerful place. And not only that, it's empowering to each other. So instead of denominationalism where we put up a wall when somebody says something we don't agree with, we're taking this other route. It's called family.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're called children of God and we're in the family of God. These are New Testament phrases. And when you're in family, you don't leave. You can't leave. You've got the same name. You're linked by DNA. You're linked by heritage. You're linked by destiny. You're linked by a family line. You can't just leave it.
Right.
You just can't. It's impossible. And that's the mindset that we've got to have with each other. And offenses come and things happen. And you've got to go, you know what? My relationship with that person is way more valuable than what I believe is right.
Mm-hmm. Plus, when you live that way, it's powerful. That is a powerful way for you to live. And that will always produce the fruit of empowering other people.
What's interesting is the Holy Spirit will never keep you from fulfilling the fruit of the Spirit. He'll never hold you back and not release you from doing what he would do, mm-hmm. which is restore,
yeah,
forgive somebody, to reconcile, to bring things back together again, and to mend that which is broken. Yeah. So Holy Spirit's not going to say, yeah, I'm going to hold you here for a season because you're not, I don't want you to restore. I want you to reconcile. It's silly.
No, Jesus was always in the business of restoration.
So Jesus said, in the last days, many will be offended and fall away. Offense is a big deal. It is the thing that can really cause bitterness and resentment and all kinds of things to fester in our hearts. Whenever you find offense with somebody else's beliefs and they don't agree with yours, it creates divide. And I think it's time for us to go after the Father in such a way that we have total communion with him individually, but also as the whole. Mm-hmm. So if we're divided with a brother or a sister, we need to go out and restore that so that we can have communion with the Father.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Go out there, restore it. Leave your gift at the altar. Go restore it with your brother or your sister. Let's come back together as family. Let's come back together as brothers and sisters. We are the church. We are the body. We're not many bodies. We're not many churches. We're not many this, that, or the other. That is not what God has called us to. He's called us to be one. Jesus's prayer, may they be one as you and I are one, so that they may know that you sent me.
So good.
And believe.
So good.
Rita Springer on the way.
Core Sounds pad loops help worship leaders instantly and easily fill their worship sound, create seamless transitions, and kill dead space. What are pad loops, you might say? Essentially, it's like the best keyboard sound or guitar swell you've ever heard, sitting underneath your live worship team. It helps to create a beautiful, patient atmosphere for your worship team and fill out the sound. They're a great investment if you have a smaller worship team or if you have a large team but want to create an even bigger sound and improve your transitions. Plus, the full sound will give you an added confidence and free you as a leader to focus on worship. Core Sound has 8 pad sounds in all 12 keys, and they come in 3 different bundle sizes so you can find the perfect fit for your worship ministry. Load the pads up on your smartphone, tablet, or laptop, and you're good to go. Whatever you play, within the key of the pad loop sounds amazing, and each pad lasts for about 20 minutes. These pads are an incredible investment and a great tool for your worship team to transform your sound and help you to continue to lead and serve God's people well. Go to Core, C-O-R-E, coresoundpads.com to learn more, try free samples, and get going with pads today.
Fear is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Next week, we're sitting down with our good friend Dustin Smith. We're going to talk about healing, community, and a whole lot of great stuff. It's going to inspire your heart and set you on fire. Today, we've been activating the next generation, and we're fortunate enough to finish up our interview with Rita Springer right now.
Well, let's shift gears and talk about the Dive Creative.
Yeah.
Your worship school, it sounds like it's very closely related heart-wise, but explain what it is to us and your goal and what you're seeing Holy Spirit do through it.
Well, we're in our 9th year, which is crazy to me, and Gateway covers it now, so which is really awesome that we're here and we're able to do it here. But what Dive really is I just felt like for years I was on the road and I was seeing all these creative types and these artists, and you know, we have this saying that so many of us say, when we see something we don't think we can do, we say, gosh, I don't have a creative bone in my body. And the reality of it is that I don't think that God created anybody without creativity. And so if you look at scripture and you look in Genesis, in that just the first chapter, all you're seeing is this absolutely amazing picture of light and separation and sound and formation, and it's everything creative. And then you go clear down to Revelation, and it's like an absolutely out of the galaxy's George Lucas film. And so I couldn't get away from the fact that the bookends in Scripture are all about this creative God, not a God that just creates us or God that created the trees, but that every time I walk outside, there is something absolutely creative that is singing over my life when I'm not even singing over my life. And so I felt like the Lord said, I want you to go find the ones that don't know who they are and find their lifeline. And I think that the lifeline for everybody is that creative source that keeps you in a dreaming position and that keeps you in an expectation position. And so the dive really captures the discipleship of, we take these small courses. We're gradually going to change as it grows. It's kind of morphing into different things. But really, we take a handful of students, and I just started taking 12 students at a time and choosing them like Christ chose the disciples. And then just their applications would come in, and I would just look down at the paper, and I would say, God, and the Lord would say, that one, that one, that one, not this one, this one, this one. And we would just have these little week-long intensive courses where we literally pulled death out of people, and then we watched the fireworks occur with creativity. And so we do all these kind of activations that really get your brain to think in a completely different creative way. You know, if you come as a writer, many come as songwriters, we put them through an art course and have them do certain things with art, because art flips the brain into certain categories that actually creates almost an English language on the tongue that is different for a writer if he'd never or she'd never been thrown into that. It really is all about the creative arts. So we have journalists and photographers and painters. I mean, the majority of our students are songwriters because that's what I am, but it just embraces the creative arts, and basically we intensify it for 7 days and pull stuff out and put stuff in and pull stuff out and put stuff in these really creative ways so that it becomes this explosive kind of experience. It's fascinating what we've seen God do in these schools, from freeing people from stuff to people who've never written a song writing an absolutely perfect song that they take back to the nation and change their churches.
Yeah.
So it's a part of mentoring. I tell my students all the time, you know, at the age of 20 to 30, you're trying to figure out who you are. And I think God works like in decades. 30 to 40, you should know who you are and be walking in it. And 40 on up, you're still understanding who you are, growing in who you are, knowing who you are, walking in who you are. But now it's time to give it all away as well. Wow. And so if you live life like that, then you live life in these beautiful cycles of freedom where you just catch the wind of creativity constantly. So there are things I'm doing now that I wasn't doing 15 years ago that I have no concept how I ever learned how to do it. But the Lord would just start talking to me about it and say, hey, why don't you do that with that and that with that and that with that? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I've never thought like that. So it's become a life source to me to think outside the box and to find the creativity in God.
Yeah, that is incredibly powerful. Incredibly powerful.
It is. It's awesome. Like the Dive Creative is probably nothing else out there like it. And so it's an experience for anybody who comes, you know.
Love it. Well, I want to wrap up our conversation talking about some of your dreams for the future. But before we do that, I wondered if you could sum up maybe the message of your life that Holy Spirit is proclaiming to the nations through you. What is the core 1, 2, 3 things you feel like he's just shouting from the innermost part of your being to the world?
You know, the thing that just pops into my head, which is so random, when I was in third grade, I think it was a Billy Graham saying. My parents had these bumper stickers and they had these pins that they would wear in their radical Christianity. And it was just this saying, and it just said, I found it. Like, I haven't thought about that since I was probably in the third grade, but I was so impacted by those three words. As you said that, I just saw that bumper sticker, and I think for me, it kind of sums it up. Because I'm not looking for it anymore. I found it. And so when you find it, when you find the Lord, he encompasses everything. So in everything that you need, he's able to do it. and everything you need freed from, he's able to do it. And everything that you are asking for or needing, he's limitless. And so I think in everything that I've done, I may have been searching for something that made up the it, but I think now I've realized that I found it and I'm not walking away from it. I have to give it away constantly. I have to raise people up and go find people and raise them up. And I think noticing people is a big thing. I spend days just asking God for faces to give me so that I can text out words or send out emails, because encouragement is such a powerful thing to throw courage on people.
Yeah.
But I realize it's part of the cross, because what the cross threw back on us was the courage of redemption. And so every time that we throw courage out on other people, it's that courage of redemption being thrown back. And so I think that sums up everything that I'm doing, is that, you know, I found this thing in the Lord, and it doesn't make me perfect, and it doesn't make me not long for things or not long to see the Lord. I'd love for the Lord to answer cries in my heart that have still been left unanswered, but I'm not leaving the canopy of his kindness because he hasn't answered it. And there are seasons when we question leaving that. And so I think that's my sum up is, you know, I'm not looking for it anymore. I've kind of found it. And if I can give it away and give whatever that is away, then I'm satisfied.
Yeah, beautiful. Tell us about the God dreams of your heart.
Well, I mean, I think I'd still love to get married one day. I mean, I don't think about that as much anymore. But, you know, for someone who cut out all the pictures, and for me, it's one of those things I'm like, just so random in my life that when you thought this is the way your life was going to go, and then that's not how your life went. And when I adopted a baby at 38, and that changed the game for me quite a bit. And I've had this great, you know, really busy career. And, but that would be a secret, you know, desire. And, you know, the Lord's been stirring me for fostering, or stirring me just about adoption, just not maybe adopting again, although if he asked me to, I probably would, but really somehow being a spokesperson for what it really is with adoption. That's a huge issue in my heart, just to get people to understand what it's about and what it's not about and how spiritual and scriptural it is. So I don't know. I think the sky's the limit. I mean, for me, it's like, geez, I'll probably write my best song when I'm 80.
Yeah, awesome.
So,
yeah, love it. Well, if we want to give people an opportunity to connect with you, whether it's through your website or social media, obviously you want them to be able to pick up a copy of Battles, learn more about the Dive Creative. Give us some websites, some social media information so we can get people connected.
Well, for the Dive Creative, it's just thedivecreative.com. And that will kind of explain the school a little bit and has all the dates. And we've got one coming up on Friday, but we have two more left in the year. I'm actually taking a school to Israel next year to do a whole creative journey in Israel in writing. So that'll be fun. So that's a website they can go to. You can always go to ritastringer.com. I'm not so great about getting, I'm so busy that it's hard to get my website up and going, but they can always go there. I mean, they always go to iTunes to download music, or Google me, and they can find just about anything they want.
Right, right. Well, Rita, you are a hero, and you have inspired so many, even so many in our worship community in the Midwest, and it is an honor to speak to you, and it's an honor to just kind of mine these treasures out of your heart today. I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for even asking. That's awesome.
So good to have Rita on the program with us. We hope to connect with her again in the future. And connecting with Dustin Smith next week, you definitely don't want to miss that episode of the Next Gen Worship Broadcast. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.